Blog Talk Radio.
America's militia has come to a point where they have to decide whether they are going to flee in the face of the enemy and circumstances, or whether they are going to unite and join the battle. Well, many apparent dangers lay right in front of us, not the least American Islamist terrorism on U.S. soil and a economic collapse. The time to form up, become operational is now. To wait endangers not only your safety, but your families, and indeed your very countries. Remember, the militia was put as the ultimate safeguard against an invading force or overreach of federal power. Both of them have come here, and they are right now, even as we speak, encroaching our throats. It's too late to run. Soon, we'll have to make a decision. We're far stronger, allied and working together, than in individual units. I encourage you to seek out your neighboring units in your state. Get in communications with them. Start trading information, supplies, train together. Your time is up. No one can predict the future. However, it looks pretty bleak. Use what time you have wisely, because you don't have much. As you know, I believe that we are in a shooting war. That has been joined. This is a huge country of 350 million. It just hasn't come to your doorstep yet. What you do now will determine how the fight is for you. But the fight is coming. Make no mistake about it. The militia must be prepared to fill its constitutional role as a safeguard of a free republic. If it does not, America is destined to split up and evaporate away like dust in the wind. So, realize this very thing. We must fulfill our obligation to ourselves, our families, our communities, and the Constitution. There is no other choice. If we do not act in concert, we will be destroyed, and along with it, our republic. We cannot wait for the government to save us. Indeed, the government is one of the very things that's put us in this position. But first and foremost is our acquiescence. Withdraw your consent. Do not participate, nor feed the beast, but be prepared to join battle against it. If you have money in the banks, get it out now. Spend it while it has value on tangible things. Food, water, ammunition, weapons. If you have a surplus of them, find people that will put them in the hands of people who will use them. Teach them to use them. What we do now is our last chance to influence the situation. Make no mistake, we are already in a shooting war. Just that night has come to your door. It soon will. God bless and save this venerable republic.
We are guardians of the free constitutional republic. We take our liberty and the responsibility for that upon ourselves. We answer to one law and one law only, the Constitution of the United States of America. We will defend our Constitution and Republic against all enemies, foreign and domestic, by force of arms. We are the Constitution's last resort. We will not fail. We will stand with brothers and sisters from sea to shining sea and preserve the Republic of the United States of America. God save the Republic.
Whiskey 6 out.
Welcome to Wild Card Command Radio. I had to play that, had to get everybody's blood to turn a little bit and move a little bit of thing because, as Six said previously, the war's already started. They just haven't shot anybody near you. They're shooting them all over this nation. Are they gangs? We don't know. Are they planned attacks? Most of them we don't know. Are there red flags? And by red flag, that doesn't mean nobody dies. That just means that they didn't happen for the reasons that they thought they did. They're there to create a belief. A belief that you and I can only survive. We can only live the life we choose if we get down on that right knee and we swear allegiance to the ones that are causing the same damage. In return, they will gladly send into our midst armed men with no duty to us, no duty to protect us. Their only duty is to be there and do as they're told. Currently, we've got members of the Patriot community out in Burns, Oregon. I've heard many comments on Facebook. I've heard many comments in person. These guys are supposed to be every single thing that you can think of, except what they are. American men and women who are exercising their First Amendment right to assemble, and they're not doing it on somebody's land. They're doing it in a federal place, which means everybody's land. And they brought with them firearms to make sure that they can do it safely. And when I say safely, think back to that image that sits on that rifle scope of that woman with the bulge in her belly, the baby on her baby above it, and the crosshairs on the right temple as they took Randy Weaver's wife from him. Why? Because he created a firearm for an agent who rushed him for weeks until he finally gave up and took off 1/4 inch too much. Why would they do that? Nobody knows. Why, in Burns, Oregon, do they have an FBI headquarters set up out on the airstrip? Why are they building hospitals on the airstrip? Is this an exercise? Are they testing their ability? No one knows. But one thing that they need to put in their planning stage, and that is that if that turns into a Waco, they may find it is repeated many, many places across this nation by other patriots who don't think that it's okay to shoot fellow patriots because they're inconvenient. From what I gather from reports from locals that have gone out and made their statement, they've actually improved that property of their own. They didn't dig any holes in the ground. They didn't cut any windows. They actually cleaned the place up. So make sure you know if it starts there, will it end up in that agent who makes that mistake and fires that round to start it? Will it be in his neighborhood next? Just something to think of. Tonight, what we're talking about is how to turn a community full of neighborhood protection teams. Now, when we talk about protection, we're not talking about armed men walking up and down the street, unless they need to be. We're talking about men and women who live on the same area, going out and helping their fellow person. Whether it's from getting Ms. McGillicuddy up the street, who just happens to come about 1% short for them to put in a ramp and get her down the stairs so she can get to her doctor appointment. Whether it's helping people when they drop a tree through the top of someone's house with a storm, to helping them out, or is it lining up elbow to elbow in the front yard of Ralph around the corner when they come to take his house because they made a mistake in his mortgage payments? And they need him to correct it for about thousands of dollars more than he ever touched in a year. To do that, what you have to do is you have to think like a local community commander. If any teams are in my area of operation, they should be in my plans. They should be in my radio net. And they should be in my command structure. What does that mean? An AO, area of operations, most of the larger militia units have areas that they've decided, well, this is about how far I can move my people without hiring buses or creating an undue burden. So this is my area. Support is what it's called. What kind of support? Every team and every community will need rations. They'll need ammunition. They'll need maintenance on equipment. And they also need training for protection. So if in team over here on this block, I happen to have a highly qualified Marine drill instructor, and in the rest of the neighborhood are 65 people that have never picked up a long rifle and pointed it at anything. That's training. He can teach them how to do that. He can teach them where to point it, what's safe, what's not safe. Down in a team two blocks over, we have another gentleman there who teaches concealed carry law for people to get a permit to carry a weapon unseen. This individual comes in right behind him and teaches them about safety. He teaches them about how to store their weapon, how they can transport their weapon from point one to point two and be legal if they're pulled over by one of the blue gang. These are all things that you have to learn. Rations. If we have a group here on this street, they're not combat people. They don't want to be. They don't want to kill anybody. They don't want to shoot at anybody. But they can grow some food. Fine. Then let's send some of Group A to Group B to provide protection, and Group B produces a little bit of food. They can go to Group A. When the roads go down, the electricity's out, the zombies are on the march, that's going to be very important. Ammunition. If you happen to have someone in your area who can turn a broken-down car battery into 500 rounds of bullets for different size weapons, that's an asset. If he knows how, then you go out and you find about 16 people that have the equipment and would like to know how. You put them up together. Now you've got an ammunition factory. You can replace what you can't buy. Maintenance. If you've got a guy over here that works on big trucks, little trucks, he can help other people keep the vehicles running, the generators running, so that the people on life support and air can keep on breathing. These are all very important things that everyone must learn how to do. And training, of course, and maintenance of weapons. But what you have to also learn is the biggest important thing that you need, and that is, how do you eat an elephant? No, it's not a joke. When asked that, the great guru had the right answer. He says, to eat an elephant, you take one bite at a time, because that's the way they're going to come for you. If your team isn't linked to the team next door, then they will eat your team. When they're finished, they'll move next door until they've eaten the entire community. And it's now, and all the weapons are gone. All the food is gone because, you know, there are those that they owe that food to. But that's what you have to do. So what you have in going with this, what I'm trying to say is, we have to start at our team. If there's no militia in our area that we know of, we find radio people and we put them on radios. We find all these different things, maintenance, medical. Who knows first aid? Okay, good. Do we have a doctor? No. Okay, first aid, you're in charge of medicine. What are we going to do? We go up and down the block, we find an empty house. Roll up the garage door, sweep it out, get some tarps. Maybe some fire, some wood, build some cots. We got a triage hospital. You're not going to take them anywhere else. The other hospital is not going to come get them because all the doctors are at home taking care of their family. The nurses will be home taking care of their neighbors. And the ambulance driver, he's going to be home with a gun making sure nobody takes his wife or his kids. These are the things you have to think of. So when you link two teams together, they amongst themselves, they determine who is the most qualified. It's not the guy with the best toys, not the guy with the stiffiest car, not the guy with the AR-15 with 9 scopes, 3 light sources, 100-round drum on the bottom, but the guy who knows how to set up a field of fire. He might have been a private in the Army. By golly, he knows all about digging foxholes that y'all don't know. Why do you make a foxhole small and round instead of long and easy to work on, which you could have done with a backhoe, right? Yeah, simple. You ever had a tank in a foxhole with you? You can't do it on an 18-inch box, wide, round, 6-foot deep. Tank runs over you, you simply drop down below below your head level. He bounces on across, and you stand up and put a round in the driver from behind. Little stuff like that that a private would know, but others wouldn't. But gathering these teams together, pull them together. If I'm being attacked over on my street and you hear the sound, you don't bring everybody. You have three designated backups. Their job is to rush over and lend assistance. Now, if I'm in a neighborhood with 28 people on my street and I get a bunch of 50 to 60 zombies, I might shoot them all. I might run them off. But they're going to attack because they think they got a chance to take anything I've got. On the other hand, if as they're shelling in there, they start to see people coming out from between the houses there, then they're going to figure maybe there's an easier community than this one, and they're going someplace else. But that's what we have to do. That's why Six was calling. Get together. If I'm down, say, in what we call Michigan, and I hear about something going on in Florida, I'm not going to send a team. Why? That's not where I need to be. There should be a whole bunch of people between Florida and Michigan border. But if the next town over is experiencing some serious problems, I have a designated group of teams who are there to go over there while still leaving sufficient to defend my area. That's what happened in Burns. We take people out in the middle of absolutely no place and put them into buildings. That's their right. They have the First Amendment right to assemble. And they have the Second Amendment right to carry a gun. Just because some forest ranger puts a little sign on the door does not negate the fact that the people have these rights. And if he's not there enforcing it, then when they go in and they got their weapons, they keep them. But that is not a reason for them to bring in assault teams that are designated for attacking criminals. And there's no way that you can get enough people up there to help, except to say, if you do it there, where are you? Do you sleep tonight? Could that happen? The same place happening and happen there. So as we close out tonight, what I want you to think about is how to get your militia in your town linked to the militia in the next town, and them linked to the other towns, to where everybody is not, I'm in charge and this is mine and I run it my way, but everybody's on the same sheet of music. A, I know that your militia is not going to send all their people down to mine because I didn't recruit. However, I can expect that if I have a good force down here and I need extra ammunition, that there would probably be somebody bringing it in. If I needed somebody to close the roads off or create a diversion and stop people from driving down that road to my area, I'm pretty sure I could call them and ask them, can they drop a tree or two? I'm sure they could do that. This is called cooperation. This is called getting together. This is what we're going to need to do in this nation. Because the powers that are causing these problems are the ones that should be fixing them. But they're not. They're causing the problems because they want more power. They want our guns so we can't exercise our first, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, and tenth right. Because without the second right, they're the only ones carrying the guns. These are all things that we need to think about tonight. It's the East Coast. The stock markets didn't open today because of the snow. Washington's under 30 inches of snow. Took the president half an hour to get from his from the airplane there because you couldn't fly the helicopter in the snow. That same snow is falling in a lot of our towns. And tomorrow when we wake up, a lot of our towns are going to have no electricity, no water. That's when our militias need to get up out of bed, get together, and start going out in these neighborhoods to make sure everybody's okay. If you take your militia and you go to their disaster, chances are when you have your firefight, they'll come to your defense. Let's close out tonight. I want to thank you and ask you to come back next week. Same time, same station. Wildcard Command Radio on blogtalkradio.com. Good evening and have a very safe weekend. And recruit, recruit, recruit.